This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by Ultimate HA7 Joint Formula from Purity Products. Ultimate HA7 features the joint-boosting benefits of hyaluronic acid. HA works like a shock absorber, helping to cushion and soothe your joints. Plus, this HA also hydrates your skin. It's powerful support for your joints, cartilage, skin, and connective tissues. So call 800-983-1154 and get a full-size bottle of HA7 for only $9. And you also get free shipping. Call now to claim your $9 trial bottle of HA7 with free shipping. 1-800-983-1154. These move fast, so call now. 1-800-983-1154. Welcome to today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and interest continues in cannabinoids. And this is a topic that, we rolled out several years ago here on Intelligent Medicine, but it just is a very, very big contribution to the nutraceutical industry these days because so many people are talking CBD and hemp-derived compounds. And I can't think of a better person to talk to about this subject than today's guest. He's an old friend and colleague. I've known him for, I hate to say for how long, decades and decades. He really has been at some of the most important places in the integrative health movement. His new book is entitled Road to Ananda. It's a simple guide to the endocannabinoid system, hemp, phytocannabinoids, CBD, and your health. He's Carl Germano. And Carl, just go out and make yourself a cup of coffee or something like that, because it's going to take a few minutes for me to introduce you, okay? Just, kick back, because Carl has a lot of qualifications. He's a board-certified clinical nutritionist. He has a master's degree in clinical nutrition from NYU. Over 35 years of experience in product development, although to look at him, you wouldn't know that. And he is the author of, actually, we've interviewed him several times over the course of our several decade career here on radio. We've interviewed him about the book Nature's Painkillers. The Osteoporosis Solution was a book, I believe, that came out in the 80s, early 90s, The Brain Wellness Plan. And now he's focused on the health benefits of cannabinoids. Also, he's got a nutrition practice at the Nutrition Therapy Center in New York for many years, and he's lectures all over the place. I just asked him, and he said, I feel like I'm living out of a garment bag. He's traveling a lot and talking, and he's a frequent guest on radio. So, Carl, it's a pleasure having you on Intelligent Medicine. Thanks for joining us.
Dr. Hoffman, it's always a pleasure, and yes, we go way back, and I remember the days of brown rice and broccoli in your Upper West Side place that you were cooking for me. So we're showing our age by telling everyone we've been around for decades.
That's right. We had a test kitchen in my first practice, and it was wonderful because we would tell the patients what to eat. We'd take them downstairs. We'd teach them how to prepare food, and that was back in the day. So I guess both of us, we've had diverse careers, but we've certainly been pioneers in this field, and you are right on top of a really, really exciting trend, which is CBD. But I think CBD, saying these initials kind of minimizes this, because as your book points out, there's more to this than just CBD, right?
Yes, unfortunately, we have been misled over the past 70 years by the government, or plus more than 70 years, by the government regarding cannabis, both hemp and marijuana, how it's been treated or mistreated. And then finally in December of last year, hemp finally got deregulated, so to speak.
It was the Farm Bill of 2018, which is a big omnibus bill with a lot of pork being dealt out to various special interests and constituencies. But one of the nice things about it is that they finally recognized hemp as legit, not something to be eradicated or suppressed.
Not at all. And, it's been around for thousands of years, food, clothing, fiber, fuel, and very important medicinals from the important class of compounds found in hemp, which is phytocannabinoids, of which CBD is just one. So while we've been misled by the government for 70 plus years, It's been a little bit misleading about talking just about CBD when we look at this marvelous plant on this planet, and that is there's close to 100 different phytocannabinoids in the plant, CBD being the most dominant. But while the others are there, minor in number, they certainly are not minor in the body, because CBD in and of itself, on its own, cannot support the body's endocannabinoid system, which we'll talk about by itself. And it needs some of the other family members around that does that do very different things as a complement to CBD, or if not even more important. And so we must look at this. And this, Dr. Hoffman, is no different than any botanical we have come to this trade with. Mm-hmm. You know, there's more than one ginsenoside in ginseng. Mm-hmm. There's more than one curcuminoid in curcumin. There's more than one ginkgolide in ginkgo. I can go on and on and on. Mm-hmm. Well, there's more than one phytocannabinoid in hemp. Mm-hmm. And I'm not taking anything away from the importance of CBD. It's just that we need the rest of the family around.
And that's truly a sort of a naturopathic approach to this, because the pharmaceutical approach studies plants in order to identify an active compound, which they then purify or synthesize or develop a chemical analog. And that's the basis. It's been the basis for drug development for decades. And still, you know, they still survey plants. You know, they bring in plants from the jungle and they say, oh, there's this exciting compound within the plant. We can purify that. We can amplify its effects. And then we'll have a perfect drug for whatever, an antibiotic or, you know, some sort of heart medicine. You know, the example of which, you know, digitalis from foxglove turned into digoxin or linoxin. And on and on. We have many examples, chemotherapy drugs. But the book is entitled The Road to Ananda. And that, you know, when I first saw that, I said, this reminds me of a Bob Hope movie, you know, like The Road to, you know, The Road to Mandalay or something. You remember those movies from the 1940s? And maybe you're not a viewer of these classic movies. But what is Ananda? And
sure.
It's become a scientific term, anandamides, right?
Right. Yeah. So I titled the book Road to Ananda for several reasons that all tie in together. Other than my classic Western medical training, I've also went through yoga teacher training and very much into the Eastern medical approaches as well. Ananda is a Sanskrit word that means bliss. Mm-hmm. And it was also the word that was used to describe the first cannabinoid we discovered we produce in our own bodies, called anandamide. Mm-hmm. So why do they use anandamide? It refers to bliss. Well, anandamide is one of the cannabinoids that actually attaches to the same receptor that THC attaches to, tetrahydrocannabinol in marijuana. Well, certainly, anandamide is nowhere near as potent as THC, but it absolutely has effects on mood, reward, behavior. It is also responsible for the runner's high that people get after exercise. So those who think that endorphins are the reason for the runner's high, you're going to have to think again. In the Journal of Experimental Biology, they looked at humans, dogs, ferrets, and after strenuous treadmill exercise, what has been noted is significant increases of anandamide levels after exercise. Now, to understand this further, as it has effects on mood, behavior, reward, and feelings, that anandamide not only attaches to the cannabinoid receptors in the body, but both of the cannabinoids we produce, both anandamide and 2-AG, are quite promiscuous. They touch other receptors, and we found out that anandamide also influences endorphin and opioid receptors, hence the nice, mild feeling of euphoria after exercise or the good feeling. And so anandamide, ananda meaning bliss, Sanskrit word. Now, the road to inner bliss for all people is to maintain homeostasis, health, well-being, balance. Well, guess what your endocannabinoid system does on a global scale? It is responsible for maintaining homeostasis. So you cannot be healthy, you cannot be well, unless your endocannabinoid system is nourished and supported. And that's why the tie-in Road to Ananda, Road to Inner Bliss is all through the endocannabinoid system. And quite frankly, for all those out there that are taking CBD supplements, in order to appreciate CBD, in order to appreciate all the other phytocannabinoids found in these full spectrum oils, one must appreciate this physiological system called the endocannabinoid system that's been buried since the 1990s because of the stigma attached to cannabinoids, which is quite tragic. It's a travesty, but it's unfolding, and it was necessary for me to do this book to start inciting this interest in the endocannabinoid system, because it's going to be around a very, very long time, and phytocannabinoids are going to be around a very, very long time, of which CBD is just the start and just the beginning.
What you scored an introduction from a guy who's very instrumental in launching this revolution. He's Dr. Raphael Meshulam, who's an Israeli scientist. Congratulations, because you know that's a little bit like you're going to write a book about the U.S. Constitution is to get a seance with George Washington or Thomas Jefferson or something, you know, because really he's considered, quote, the father of cannabinoid medicine. What he has to say here about the potential of this stuff is very exciting. Can you summarize it in lay terms, you know, what his research has shown?
Yeah, well, you have to understand, back in the 60s, he was the person who discovered the receptors of why THC causes the intoxicating effects it has in the body. Mm-hmm. This kind of unraveled for us to understand, well, if
so
we have
receptors... So he's a top neuroscientist. He really is understands just the physiology, the lock and key mechanisms by which this works.
He's the professor of medicinal chemistry at Hebrew University in Jerusalem, and he's been around quite some time in the cannabinoid space. And so he started that in the 60s, and then lo and behold, after that discovery, the question was, well, if we have these receptors that THC is hitting, then there must be something in the body that's touching these receptors as well. What are they doing there? And so this all led to a very important decade of discovery, the 1990s. This is when Dr. Raphael Meshulam and his colleagues out of the National Institute of Mental Health here in the U.S. and others have unraveled probably one of the most important medical discoveries in quite some time, and that is the unraveling of this endocannabinoid system and its implications in health maintenance and disease, both prevention and treatment. And so he is one of the biggest names, and in the book, I lead him off as the leader of Mount Hempmore, with his colleague carved out in the mountain there. But without a doubt, he is an esteemed individual, where his work, and I have said this clearly to him, you are known in the scholarly circles. You are known within the scientific community. Your work and the importance of the endocannabinoid system needs to get into the hands of every human being. It needs to be taught in high school, to college, to practitioner school. I've got to get a book out at the layman, slightly technical level, to make sure everybody is going to understand this important system and why it will be the target of almost every single nutritional protocol. And this is not talking about the fact that this is a panacea. Your endocannabinoid system is modulating all physiological functioning in the body. It is the conductor of the orchestra that leads to communication, mass communication throughout the body, making sure that every organ function and every physiological function is on par. And we have to nourish it. We have to support it because, quite frankly, like everything else we produce in our body, the cannabinoids we produce at times, whether it be aging, genetics, disease, medications, stress, there are times we don't produce enough of the cannabinoids we are supposed to produce, and therefore your endocannabinoid system suffers. And therefore, what we see in the literature are what we call endocannabinoid deficiency states.
Yeah.
Migraine, fibromyalgia, irritable bowel syndrome, inflammatory, neurological conditions are all known to be endocannabinoid deficiency states, which can be suitably treated by giving phytocannabinoids.
So this is not something where we can, there's no metric where we can draw blood and get like a vitamin D level, or we can look at an omega-3 index and determine if people are low. So far, we don't have a good marker. So it's based on a clinical assessment of, that it's likely that people's pain coping mechanisms, people's sleep mechanisms, various bodily systems are not functioning optimally. Am I correct?
Well, we now have various published studies to show that our cannabinoids, anandamide and 2-AG, almost act as biological markers for disease and disease progression. I mean, in Translational Psychiatry 2014, they look at anandamide levels.
Is commercially available? I mean, can you go, because I'd be interested in running those tests as a screen on some patients. Is it a test?
My gut feeling is that this is all new, and it's not going to be part of the standard blood screen yet, but the fact that they are measuring them in the blood, and it's
experimentally.
It'll eventually make its way to people having that assessed.
Oh, yeah, actually wait that. That'd be great.
Yeah. But, you know, when anandamide levels get too low, it results in various conditions like stress-induced anxiety, migraine headaches. I mean, the list continues to go on and on. So we must contend with the fact that the endocannabinoid system is at the heart and soul of all nutritional protocols, and you know, it's going to kind of pave the way and be dominant in nutrition and medicine for decades. Mm-hmm. We have just started to unravel the science, let alone entry into the marketplace of compounds coming from hemp that can help feed and nourish the endocannabinoid system. But that is the most important story. So it's not about CBD. It's not even about phytocannabinoids. It's all about nourishing, supporting the endocannabinoid system so we can be well, we can maintain homeostasis, we can have this major adaptogenic system in our bodies ward off a disease in our bodies. So it's something to contend with, and we have just scratched the surface.
Yeah, you mentioned the connection between the cannabinoid system and exercise. How does that work? Exercise generates cannabinoids, or could excessive exercise deplete or overwhelm your endogenous production of cannabinoids, and you may require some additional support?
Well, that's a great question, because it was the subject of my prior book called The Misled Athlete, where I made the analogy that the athlete was no different than a cancer patient times when I was dealing with oncology. And that is to say, after strenuous activity, we see the same issues at the molecular level we see in an oncology patient. They break down muscle, produce inflammation, oxidative stress, immune suppression, and fatigue. And so we have to look at exercise as a stressor, and a stressor that has to be contended with by the human body. And after strenuous activity, the body goes through a little bit of hell to deal with. Now we have
sounds like my morning workout this morning. My personal trainer put me on the TRX and gave me an 18-pound medicine ball to throw up in the air a bunch of times, and man, I was really gassed.
Well, think about it. Your body, you know, stress. The stress of exercise is like the stress of disease at a very different, certainly transient level. But nevertheless, we have natural mechanisms to recover from the stress of exercise, but we know these mechanisms can be hampered by a variety of factors. The point of the matter is, stress of exercise, it needs to be dealt with by the endocannabinoid system. When we see people go through strenuous exercise, all the cannabinoids that we produce get elevated because they are dealing with inflammation, oxidative stress, neurotransmission, anti-inflammatory effects, both in the brain and at the tissue level. All of the things that we see that are negatives of exercise that we normally can deal with, but as we get older or whatever the issue is, we have to help the body adapt to that stressor. And the endocannabinoid system is the primary system to do so, even after exercise.
So I know you work, you actually personally work with a lot of athletes. Would you recommend that athletes take CBD or perhaps a more broad spectrum hemp derived anti-inflammatory compound?
Absolutely. And I look at the use of phytocannabinoids like CBD both before and after exercise. Why? Well, your endocannabinoid system is involved in A, protecting the mitochondria, the part of the cell that produces energy, which you need desperately when you're doing exercise. It protects that. It is also involved in the production of ATP energy as well. So we've got that issue covered for pre-workout. Then we have to deal with the stressors of exercise after you work out, and that is elevated inflammatory markers, elevated oxidative stress markers, both of which the endocannabinoid system controls. So this is probably one of the biggest stories to be told for the sports community, that supporting the endocannabinoid system before and after are going to be primary targets for both performance and recovery,
right?
In addition to whatever else is out there. But you know, this is a major, major story for athletes in the sports marketplace.
And a big consideration. I mean, obviously for amateur athletes, you know, we don't get drug tested. We don't have to be WADA compliant, you know, World Anti-Doping Association compliant. But for individuals, you know, say high school athletes, college athletes, professional athletes, Olympic athletes, NCAA competitors, is there a potential downside in taking a CBD product because you might get a trace of a THC signal in a urine test?
Yeah, well, that has been always a concern. And understand that hemp, by definition, has to have at least the U.S. government less than 0.3% THC on a dry weight basis. Nevertheless, many people want to take a lot more or will chronically take it. And the issue is, will it show up in a blood or urine test? Well, the answer to that is, at the normal dosages of providing 10 to 25 milligrams of CBD, that is highly unlikely that will happen. Nevertheless, we know people don't follow recommendations. They want to take
more. A little is good, a lot is better. Yeah, right.
Yeah, but the good news is that companies that supply raw materials to companies that make finished products today are able to provide raw materials, CBD-rich hemp oils, with literally undetectable THC levels. So that will not be an issue moving forward, as not only the science is evolving, so are the extraction methods, so are the processing methods, so that this will not be an issue for anyone, probably within the next couple of months.
And has WADA or any of the major sports associations, you know, NCAA or any of those, have they ruled on this? Because I know a lot of athletes will want to take this because, I mean, at the very least, to overcome muscle soreness. You know, some people are sometimes using topical CBD for muscle strains and sprains and so on. And so there's got to be some sort of policy on this that may exempt athletes from, you know, the drug testing I mean, some of those stringent criteria.
Well, we know WADA has taken CBD off their ban list.
Oh, they cool. did that. Okay. Great.
Very of last year.
Great.
So that's fine. And then, you know, when you talk about inflammation and what have you, you know, the U.S. government in 2003 got issued a patent on the neuroprotective effects of cannabinoids found in cannabis, hemp. And in that paper, in that patent, they talk all about how cannabinoids, the non-intoxicating ones like CBD, can reduce further damage to the brain after stroke or trauma. And when it comes to trauma, football, soccer, martial arts, what have you, this is incredibly important.
Not to mention the military, you know, the VA system that deals so much with, you know, IED injuries and, you know, various types of head trauma.
Sure. And we know very well that after strenuous activity, general raise of inflammatory markers is common, let alone if you're involved in a contact sport. This could be a remarkable natural compound that prevents brain damage in these individuals. So, again, we are at the cusp of something that is just going to change botanical medicine as we know it. We have buried this plant. We have buried the science. We have prevented education for way too long. It's now going to explode, and rightfully so.
It is exploding, yeah. And presumably you know Michael Lewis, who is a guy who heads up Brain Health Research Institute. which originally he put all his bets on fish oil as a means of preventing and also treating head trauma. And now he's really on board with CBD as an adjunct to the fish oil protocol that he uses for head injury. Clearly, there's some synergy between fish oil and CBD, or broad-spectrum hemp-derived compounds, for concussions and for head trauma.
Well, a lot more. There is enough data out there right now to show that people who are omega-3 deficient, their endocannabinoid system suffers. The cannabinoid receptors are not as active, and these omega-3s and phospholipids act as backbone structures to actually produce cannabinoids, anandamide, and 2-AG in the human body. And so we look at numerous papers that show the relationship of low omega-3 status and poor endocannabinoid functioning. And we see the same issues. People who are omega-3 deficient, you know, stress, inflammation, and all the conditions you see with people who have low and omega-3 status are the same conditions we see in people who are endocannabinoid deficient. So there is an intimate relationship between the two, and I suggest anyone out there who is taking full-spectrum hemp oils for CBD content, take it with your omega-3 fish oils. Mm-hmm. It not only will complement each other in terms of supporting the endocannabinoid system, but also omega-3 phospholipids will help with absorption of these phytocannabinoids into the body.
Okay, great stuff, Ed, and really a useful introduction to the subject. But we got a lot more to cover, and we're going to take a deeper dive into the application of cannabinoids, hemp-derived phytocannabinoids, which include CBD, but a whole lot more. The book is The Road to Ananda. Our guest is Carl Germano. And in part two, we're going to look at anxiety, sleep, eye health, gastrointestinal health, and even cancer, because there's some implications for all of those. And it's in the book. We'll be right back to talk more about hemp-derived phytocannabinoids. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is the Intelligent Medicine Podcast.